Shalom everyone, I'm very happy to announce that I'm starting a new series of videos in which I'll be delving into the book of Psalms. Psalms is probably the most popular and referenced book in the Bible, certainly the most beloved book in the Bible. It's a book that billions of people across the world reach out to in times of hardship, when they're in need of consolation, and when seeking the right words to speak to God. It's really quite amazing when you think about it that a book written thousands of years ago in one particular place in the world still touches the hearts of people all over the world today and expresses their innermost feelings of heartache, of hope, and of longing. In each video, I'll be unpacking and exploring one psalm, and I'll be making special note to address two main aspects. Firstly, I'll focus on the things you can learn only from the original Hebrew text. Most people read Psalms from using their translations. While a good translation certainly captures the gist of the psalm, its spirit and overall content, much, indeed all of the finer nuances, is, as they say, lost in translation. So it'll be my job to help you become aware of the original Hebrew words, some of them, and appreciate their meanings and what they can add to the general content. Secondly, I'll be focusing on what we call the inner dimension of the text. The interpretations given by the more esoteric or mystical traditions within Judaism, which really means first the Kabbalah, and then subsequently the tradition of Hasidism or Hasidut. Basically, Kabbalah is Jewish mysticism. It explores all the deeper, more mystical things that have to do with higher worlds and so on. But what Hasidut did is that it took this world of Kabbalistic thought and translated it into the language of psychology and inner work. So really, Hasidut is the best way to explain the meaning of Psalms in a way that can really connect to how those words, you know, can become our own words of prayer. Now, as we'll see, these two points, right, looking into the Hebrew, the original meaning of the Hebrew words, and explaining the Hasidic Kabbalistic explanations, these two points are really connected. Often, the deepest mysteries reside in the smallest details. You know, there's a well-known phrase in the world, it says the devil is in the details. Well, in Judaism, you can say that it's really the opposite is true. God is in the details. When you pay attention to the details, the wording, the letters even sometimes, then you get a sort of peek into the deepest mysteries and secrets of the Torah, the Bible text. So let's start with a simple question. What is the Hebrew word for Psalms? What is the Hebrew name of this book? Well, it's called Tehillim. Tehillim means praises. Tehillah is in the singular, Tehillim is in the plural. Each psalm is also called a mizmor. A mizmor is a song. So it's Mizmorei Tehillim. Each song is a song of praise. But very beautifully, the word Tehillim or Tehillah, it comes from the same root as another Hebrew word, Yahel, which means to give off light. It's very similar, and it's probably the root of the English word hallow. So you can imagine someone with a halo around their head. In Hebrew, that would be Hila. And the word Yahel means to give off light. So there's a certain light in Psalms, in Tehillim, and that's the light that we want to uncover and we want to decipher. Now, who wrote Psalms? Well, the bulk of the book has 150 Psalms in it, the bulk of it was written by King David, but some of the Psalms were also written by other people. We're not even sure who all of them were. There's a certain tradition in Judaism that there were altogether 10 writers, including people who came before David and some people who came after him. So before it would be Adam and Abraham and Moses, and after him there would be Solomon and some other people as well. But when we think about the book of Psalms, really the figure we have in mind and the one who's at the center of it, and even the other people are in a way leading up to him or taking a cue from him, the main figure here is David. In a way, when we think about, when Jews and people all over the world think about the book of Psalms, really the person they have in front of their eyes, the kind of soul that they're connecting to, is the soul of the very, very special historical figure, called King David, who was a combination of a warrior and poet, something very, very interesting. And so all of these different Psalms, even the ones not written by him, are in a way aspects or reflections of aspects of his soul. Now, a word about the structure of the book that can also help us understand more about the meaning of it. So the book, as I said, it has 150 Psalms, and it's divided into five books. It's not equally divided. It's not like 30 Psalms a book. It's different sizes. Some of the books are longer, some are shorter, but that's the traditional accepted division of all the Psalms into five books. Now, of course, five books is reminiscent of something. It's reminiscent of the five books of Moses. The Torah has five books, Pentateuch, right? It's Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. And indeed, there is a parallel, a correspondence. It's explained that the five books of Psalms correspond to the five books of Moses. But what is the meaning of this correspondence? Well, let's go back to the understanding why the Torah itself has five books. So it's explained that this series of five within the Torah, the fact that there are five books of Moses, it's really a reflection of the fact that when you open Genesis' very first few verses, we see that the word light repeats itself five times, exactly five times. God says, let there be light, and then there was light, and then God saw that the light was good, and then God separated the light from the darkness, and then finally God calls the light day. So it's five lights altogether. So the explanation is that these are like five rays of light that are coming from the heaven into our world, divine transcendent lights of prophecy, of inspiration, and then they become embodied in the five books of Moses. So it would, first of all, it would be the five books of Moses, but then we can say that they continue to go down into the world and they come down through the words of the prophets. And really every time we have an experience of revelation or inspiration and we feel that a light is coming into our inner world, into our hearts from above, from somewhere. It didn't come from us. That is a continuation, a development of those five original lights of Genesis, which are embodied in the books of Moses, and which then continue to reverberate throughout history in the world and in our own lives. Again, it has to be an experience of coming from above to below. But then what happens to these lights? So these lights come into the world, we have these experiences, and then they meet reality, they bounce across the world, at the surface of the world, and then they're refracted, right? Like when you have light from the sun, and it's refracted in the drops of rain, for example, then you get the rainbow. So the same goes for divine light or spiritual light. Spiritual light is refracted within reality. Refracted comes from the word fracture. It's broken because reality is broken. Reality is multifaceted and complex and not orderly, and not everything is going the way it should be. And then the divine light, which is all about, you know, purity and order and how things should be, it comes into this world and then it's refracted, it's broken. And then we have a different sort of energy or movement. We have something called the returning light. Returning light is the light that comes not from above to below, but from below to above. From this world of questions and doubt and heartache and confusion, we have a different sort of light, a more human light, not so much a divine light, but a human light. So this is a light that isn't coming from a place of certainty, it's coming from a place of uncertainty. It's not coming from God, it's coming towards God. It's seeking God. It's seeking God's face, God's presence. And it wants to be answered by God. And it's coming from a place of, again, doubt and brokenness and confusion and questions and uncertainty. And so this light, the returning light, just like we had five rays of light coming from above, embodied in the five books of Moses, we also have five rays of returning light. And where are they embodied? They're embodied in the five books of Psalms. The five books of Psalms are like an answer or an echo to the five books of Moses. It's almost like saying, well, Moses, you brought us this beautiful, amazing Torah, and it's perfect and it's divine, but in a way it's too high, it's too divine. It tells me what I should be, but where I am actually, where my being is, where my reality is, that's a total different story. And the Bible would not be complete if it just had the five books of Moses and the books of the prophets that are all continuing this tone of explaining things as they look from on high, from above. It has to have this kind of reply, this kind of answer that's heartfelt, that's coming from someone who's not perfect, someone who doesn't spend 40 days without eating or drinking on the top of the high, lofty Mount Sinai. It wasn't that high, by the way. It's a small mountain. It's another, that's all, also a combination. It's a mountain, but it's small. But no, we need someone who comes from the ground, a ground level protagonist, a ground level person to voice who we are, to represent us as a kind of like an ambassador of humankind when they approach godliness, when they approach God. So this is David. David is a complementary figure to Moses, and he is all about speaking from the depth of his very, very human heart. He's a flawed king. He's a flawed Messiah. He's the father figure of Mashiach ben David, the messianic figure. And he has to be someone who is all about sharing with us his difficulty in connecting to the divine light, and that provides a light of its own, a different kind of light, a light that's coming from below to above, from where we are, not ideally, but really, and then growing up, evolving from that place. Okay, so Moses and David are complementary figures, and we saw that Moses gave us the five books of Moses, and David gave us the five books of David, which is really Psalms. But now we come to the really deepest point of this video, which is the introduction to the book of Psalms. Moses and David, both of them are seen as archetypes of the Mashiach, of the Messiah. So as I said before, David is traditionally accepted as the forefather of the Messiah. The Messiah has to be an actual descendant of David. That's what the tradition says. But there is another tradition, another source, that says that Moses was not only the first redeemer, that is the savior who redeemed us from Egypt. He's also going to be the final redeemer. He's the first and final redeemer. Same person. He needs to come again to return in some form. It's like reincarnation or something of the sort. Someone who is like him needs to come back and sort of reveal the Torah anew. That is, reveal the inner dimension of the Torah that is hidden in the Torah, because the Torah is eternal, it doesn't change, but we can always get a deeper understanding of it. So we need another Moses in the future to come and sort of reveal the inner dimension of the Torah. So which is it going to be? Is the Mashiach, a David-type person, a descendant of David, or is the Mashiach a reincarnation or a Moses-type person? And again, they're like total opposites, because Moses is all about going upwards, being this prophet who is receiving directly the words of God, and they sort of flow through him in a very unmediated way, unfiltered way. And David is all about the filter. He's all about the human filter of candidly, honestly, authentically expressing his difficulties and his doubt and how much he needs God, because he doesn't have this experience that God is always, everything is going to work out. He needs to pray for things to work out. So which kind of person, which type is the Mashiach? So the very, very beautiful answer that is given in Kabbalah and Hasidut is that the Messiah, the Mashiach, which is really, it's not just this person that's coming in the future, it's all of us, each one of us has a spark of Mashiach within them. So the Mashiach needs to be the soul of Moses in the body of David. He has the soul of Moses, it's like the incarnation of Moses, but he's also a descendant, or is coming from the actual physical body of David. So it's the soul of Moses in the body of David. But really, it's deeper than that. It means then we're talking about this sort of ideal personality, really, the ideal personality, the messianic personality, which we all need to be striving to be, is on a deeper level, we are very much, we want to be in the likeness of Moses, but this light has to be contained in the vessel of coming from David, right? In Kabbalistic terminology, we're talking about lights and vessels. And it's a bit like soul and body, but it's more abstract. It helps us more connect in a deeper way. The lights of the messianic archetype or figure, they're coming from Moses. Moses is totally selfless. He is self-negating. He can be totally outside of himself, and he can be outside of his body. He's not eating, not drinking. He's going up and totally devout, totally connected to God. That's the light of the messianic figure. May we all merit to have something like this. But the thing is, if it's only that, it's sort of disembodied. It's floating somewhere up there. And this has to be embodied in the vessels of David. David, what is David? David is humility. It's lowliness. It's self-awareness, being aware of your flaws, your sins, and being connected to that, not cheating yourself, not being, like jumping over your own problems, your own flaws. If you're connected to them, if you're aware of them, and you're aware of how broken you are and how much you need God and how much you're not perfect, that becomes the vessel for all the very, very high, very spiritual lights of Moses. So that's a beautiful, beautiful combination. Now, focusing on David now, we can say that since David is the vessel, that in a way, a vessel, as opposed to the light, a vessel has two aspects to it. There's the outer aspect that is, in touch with the world, and there's the inner aspect of the vessel, which connects to the light. So it's the two sides. What are the two sides of David? And we're going to see them in Psalms. The two sides of David are reflected in a name that is mentioned in the book of Samuel, which talks about David. He has a list of different warriors that accompany him, that go with him. And they each have a name. And the sages explain that the names of these warriors, it's really all reflections of David himself. So a main warrior, the main figure there, he's a special name. His name is Adino Ha'etzni. Adino Ha'etzni. What does that mean? So Adino means gentle, tender, delicate. That's the first name of this one warrior that's very special. He's very, very delicate, very gentle. Adin in Hebrew. Adin is tender, gentle. His surname, his second name is Ha'etzni. Ha'etzni means tree-like or as tough as a tree. And so the sages explain that King David had this duality. They say that when he went out to battle, he hardened himself as a tree. That's the outside of the vessel, the part that deals with the outside world. You can't be a sissy. You can't be someone who can be taken advantage of. You need to be tough. You need to be strong. And you need to be a little bit rough. It's not a bad thing. It's a good, it's a messianic thing. You need to be able to be a fighter, to be brave, to be bold, to go out of your way and not only say, well, God will take care of things and I will just pray to God and that's it. You need resolve, you need authority, you need toughness. So that's the outside of the vessel, is that David was able, knew how to toughen himself, harden himself like a tree, like wood. On the other hand, that's what the sages say. Whenever he learned Torah, when he was in the study hall, he was learning Torah, he made himself and turned himself into someone who was as delicate and gentle as a worm. That's what they say. Why a worm? Because a worm doesn't have any limbs. It's just a mouth. That's all it does. It just eats it just mutters prayers, just learns and prayers. That's all he knows how to do. But when you think about it, a worm can topple trees. It can patiently, just using its mouth, it's a very soft, very weak animal, but it can topple trees. So the inner aspect of the vessel of David is being as tender as a worm. So he was called Adino Ha'etzni, the tender tree, or the delicate tree that was had this combination, this carrying of opposites, of having these two sides. So we're going to see this duality in Psalms, the duality of toughness and tenderness, of authority and vulnerability, of resolve and of flexibility. So this sums up our introductory video. Stay tuned, because tomorrow I'll be posting the very first video dedicated to an actual psalm, the first psalm. If you like this video, please like the video, press the like button, and follow the channel, and leave a comment. Whatever thoughts you had, questions you have, please leave your comments. If you want me to address a particular psalm, please write it down in the comments. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next video. This video was made possible through the kind support of my sponsors over at Patreon. Patreon is a great way to help independent creators like myself produce original content. If you'd like to get more English language videos from me, please consider becoming a supporter via Patreon. You can find the link in the description below. Thank you very much.